Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 6 tonight. Romans chapter 6. I know in our evening services we've been studying the Gospel of Mark, and in our morning services we've been doing a short study on basic Bible doctrines from Romans, but we're going to switch that up tonight since we had a special speaker this morning, and there's no way I could preach my message in 8 minutes, and that's kind of when I'd like to close since that's our custom. But since our meeting went so long, the moderator took too long, we'll just see if we can get through perhaps the introduction of this message. But Romans chapter 6, let's just read from verse 1 through verse 4. But in this particular message or on this particular subject, we do want to look at the chapter in its entirety, but we'll probably finish it up next week. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." The title of the message is Why We Should Not Continue to Sin. But let's pray and ask God to bless the message. Lord, help us tonight as we consider this chapter and as we consider primarily this evening just the first verse and what it says in regards to salvation and its consequences. And Lord, might we see that being justified, being declared righteous by Thee because of our faith, does not in any way mean that we are to continue in sin. And as we study this chapter, might we see specifically why it is that we as believers should not continue to sin. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've looked in part in our study, and maybe in part in previous studies of the book of Romans, at chapter number 5 and what is involved in the Bible doctrine of justification. And we've seen that the means of justification is faith. Chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so not only does that verse express to us the means of justification, which is by faith, but it also gives to us one of the results or consequences of justification, which is peace with God. But the chapter goes on to say that there's a number of other results for justification: patience, hope. We're spared the wrath of God. We've received atonement and been reconciled to God. These are the consequences or the results of justification. And then the last half of chapter number 5 deals with what I call the extent or the scope, the boundaries, the limits of justification. And to understand what is meant by that, you can look at verse 20 of chapter 5 where it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. When the law came and it said to us what was right and what was wrong, we saw just how sinful we are, exceeding sinful." But that verse goes on to say, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." As rampant as sin is, as wicked as we are, as ungodly as our culture is, it is not outside of the reach of the grace of God. And so chapter 5 deals with these subjects: the means of justification, the results of justification, the scope of justification. And in light of these truths, in light of our spiritual standing, that is, us being declared righteous by God, those of us who are saved, in light of our justification, in light of the scriptural truth that God's grace abounds, and it abounds greatly and more abundantly than all of our sin, someone might conclude that we then don't need to worry about sin. And that's precisely how many new evangelicals think today. There's a lot of books on the shelves of Christian bookstores that talk about grace. And when they talk about grace, they give many a believers the impression that there is nothing to worry about anymore concerning sin. Some people ask, well, if grace abounds so greatly, we can continue to sin, right? We don't need to be concerned about it, do we? After all, it won't make much of a difference. God's grace can cover it. And so that's precisely why chapter 6 brings up this subject, should we continue to sin? And notice what verse 1 says again. What shall we say then? Again, it's always a fantastic thing to understand the Bible within its context. And you can't fully appreciate the subject of chapter number 6 until you've looked at the subject of chapter number 5. What shall we say then? You'll recall that that's also a phrase that was found back in chapter number 4 in verse 1. What shall we say then? And we saw how significant it was there. In light of the fact that we're sinners, and unholy, and unable to be righteous in the eyes of God, other than by the means of our faith. What does the Scripture say? What does it teach in regards to justification? Well, now here it's saying, what does the Scriptures teach in regards to sanctification? Our cleansing, our purification, the process by which we bring our practical standing up to our position in Christ. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He was just talking about how abundant God's grace was. Grace, as we sing in that song, greater than all our sin. Well, great. Someone says, we don't have to worry about sin no more. God's grace is going to cover it. Shall we continue in sin? And the response, and might I say the emphatic response, comes back, God forbid. I think that's probably the strongest negative that can be given in the Scriptures. Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. Let me ask the question. Does the truth of Scripture, justification by faith alone, does it lend itself to licentiousness? Because that's what some people think. That's what some people think in regards to the doctrine of eternal security, which is a biblical doctrine. That once you're saved, you're secure in Christ Jesus. And we know that's true for a number of reasons, but, you know, firstly, because the terms that are used to describe our existence after this life include everlasting and eternal. So doesn't it make sense that what God has promised is everlasting? That it's eternal. Of course, what God does is forever. And when He justifies the sinner and declares them righteous, that's not something that can be undone. And I'm not going to go into an in-depth explanation of why we believe in eternal security. For now, let me just say that it's biblical. We're safe and we're secure in Christ Jesus. God's grace has forgiven us of our sins, past, present, and future. And so the Bible answers the question of the critic that says, oh, you believe that once saved, you can live however you want. Oh, no, quite the contrary. This entire chapter is dedicated to the subject of why we, as believers who are secure in Christ Jesus, should not continue to sin. Notice what some others said about this subject. One said, justification does not lead people to sin, but on the contrary, to holiness. And we'll see that in this chapter. Another man said, the gospel has a purifying tendency. And another Bible teacher said, this passage refutes the charge brought against justification by faith and its consequence of eternal security as a licentious doctrine and prevents any ill use that might be made of it by men of evil minds. So by the way, the text spends very little time answering the question, should we continue in sin? It just simply says, God forbid. But it spends a great deal of time explaining why we should not continue to sin. And so that's the subject we'll pick up with next Sunday and look at many of the specific reasons given to us in this chapter as to why we should not continue to sin. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this passage. I believe it's one that's very significant and relevant to our lives. Lord, oftentimes we're criticized by those who reject the security of the believer. And Lord, oftentimes there are false accusations made about what we believe. And Lord, as we study this chapter and continue to study it next Sunday, give us some insight. Help us to understand why it is that we should not continue to sin. And then, Lord, might we strive to live our lives according to the precepts of thy word, that you would be glorified and that our lives would be blessed. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's take our hymnal and turn to number 155. 155, the heavenly vision, or turn your eyes upon Jesus.